Let's face it, if you are leading a church, there will be conflict. No matter what we try, that's just a fact of life. Conflict will always find us in the church. But we wanted to walk you through our four-step framework on how to bring resolution the easiest way we know how when it comes to church conflict. Let's talk about it. You're listening to the Reach Right Podcast, the show dedicated to helping your church reach more people and grow. Well, hey guys, I'm Thomas.
And I'm Ian.
And today we're talking about church conflict, everybody's favorite topic, and some secrets that we've picked up over the years on how to bring resolution to those.
So,
you know, it's one of those things where I don't really like church conflict. I don't think anybody does. Some people maybe do. There's some people that just kind of drama seems to follow them, and they're those kinds of people. But man, like, this is just one of those inevitable realities that if you are leading a church, you're going to deal with conflict that you have with people, and even that people have with each other within your church. It's just going to be something that happens. And I've pastored for nearly 20 years. I've been through these kinds of situations. I don't count the actual number, but it has to have been dozens of times where we've helped people navigate some of these kinds of challenges they have with other people within our church. And so we wanted to do a podcast episode, or us and our content team, we sat down and came up with a few ideas that we have seen help. I know they've helped me to overcome and move on past some of these conflict issues. The reality is not you're going to have them. And even if you handle them perfectly, it's not always going to work out perfectly. Sometimes people just will do what they do. Sinner's going to sin. And that's what happens.
That's right.
Try as we might, there's not a perfect solution to this, but these are a few things that you and I have kind of seen work best for helping church leaders navigate some of this stuff here. So I think it should be a good conversation.
Yeah, as you were talking, Thomas, it reminded me of whenever I came to faith a little later in life, in my mid-20s or so, and got active in ministry right away. And I think whenever I was a little more immature, this was so much harder to deal with. And we were just joking and talking out this podcast before about, you know, over the years, it's become a little easier for me to resolve conflicts because we were joking, saying we have thicker skin. But there's also a temptation in that, because if you get too thick skin, well, then you become insensitive, right? Mm-hmm. So, there is a balance to all this. And I think scripture obviously communicates a balance to that too. And you and I have had these conflicts. You and I, we've mentioned this in podcasts before. We pastored together here in the Austin area when you planted a church here and I first met you. And we, of course, had our conflicts from here and there. We still have them at Reach Right from time to time, right? And we always try to obviously handle those biblically. But church conflicts, though, as we're talking about it within the local church in leadership or just even within membership, they can become a big deal. And like you, having worked with churches for years, I've heard some bad horror stories of how ultimately ends in a split or worse, or a fall from a pastor. And, you know, it all kind of could start with something that could have been navigated through much more easily. And so that's our hope. We love working with churches. We encourage them with not only digital marketing, but in other ways too, right?
Yeah.
So
real absolutely. Talk, like, I mean, I'm glad you brought this up. And we didn't plan for this as we were prepping for the podcast. But I mean, you and I'd say like maybe once a year or so, we get into, like, you know, part of being brothers and iron sharpening iron and doing that kind of stuff and, you know, kind of co-founders of this company. It is like, do we have conflict? Yeah, absolutely. I think, I don't want to overstate this. Like, I think it's like 99.5% peaceful, harmonious relationship. Yeah, but there are those occasional days where we just don't agree, or, you know, we rub each other the wrong way, or we say something that frustrates someone else. And so I think that you and I have done a decent job, just that it's never been something that lasted longer than a few hours, it seems like. And we just get to the core. And I think we really got a lot of these points we're going to talk about today, these kind of hacks that we have from living this out, right?
That's right. And it was on the tip of my tongue based on what you just said, Thomas. It's actually kind of leads us to, we have one scripture reference. And actually what you just said, I think, is what has helped us deal with this. And I think in ministry life, you know, often we can kind of brush over these things. And the Bible is clear in Matthew 18, verses 15 through 17, just to summarize it even more simply, that if you have a conflict, or your brother sins or your sister sins against you, you rebuke them, or you resolve it. You bring it to their attention and you deal with it, right? Yeah. And often sometimes we if it's one individual conflict we have, we try to avoid ways around that. So that's a good scripture to lead us into what we have four jokingly referred to as hacks to resolve conflicts.
Yeah. Everything's got to be a hack or a secret or right. a special sauce kind of a thing. So let's give them our hacks, Ian.
Let's do it. This first one I think is really good. Identify what the core issue is. Why did this conflict happen within your church or church leadership or within your small group or whatever it would be? I think we can often, as something develops a conflict, we can focus on all the minutiae or things that transpired from that initial core issue.
Right.
If you keep it simple, what was the main thing that you disagreed on or whatever? Well, then you can kind of attack that in a healthy way to solve it. But all the other ripple effects and stuff that transpires from that, that tends to kind of, you know, lead you in a, I've experienced at least in it, and lead you backwards and not forward. Yeah. So, yeah. So what is the core issue? Addressing that core issue of the conflict. Yeah.
Yeah. There's always going to be lots of secondary and tertiary issues on every time someone like
yeah.
that, there is some kind of a conflict in a church. But usually you can boil it down to one thing, and the temptation is going to be to try and solve this whole big conglomerate of problems
yep.
and hash it all out together. And, you know, usually it all comes from one defining kind of main issue that is that
yeah.
at the center of it all. So, you know, in your pastoral wisdom, you have to kind of try to decipher and prayerfully figure out what is that main issue and not attack the wrong issue. But
right.
yeah, absolutely. Like avoid the temptation to try and, you know, solve 19 problems at once and instead
yeah.
just kind of find what that core is that's leading to the conflict. And then usually the other stuff can be forgiven if we kind of get resolution in that one area.
That's good.
So good way to start. So
yep.
next one is hold open discussions. This is really something that is important. I know for you and I, that has been something that we've, it takes discipline to do it. Like to actually look at the other person and say, hey, it bothered me when you did this, or
yeah.
you shouldn't have said something like this because this made me feel this way, or it is
right.
not productive for us. And I think this happens all the time
yeah.
And in churches. It's something that needs to be able to happen. But that's the root of so many church problems, is that we're so unwilling to have open discussions. We want to maybe talk to other people about the problem and not the person that can actually solve it. Or we want to maybe, you know, throw little, and I'm guilty of this sometimes, throwing little sarcasm barbs or those kinds of things at
you?
Them. Me? See, look, at you just did it then. You just did a sarcasm
creating,
barb.
This is creating conflict.
That's it. But we do those things instead of just kind of openly stating
yeah.
what needs
yeah.
to be said. Like, it
right.
hurt me when you said this, like
yeah.
those kinds of open discussions. And a lot of times, if it's people that are within your church, they may need a mediator to help them have these kinds of open discussions.
Yeah, that's a good
because
point.
It can
yeah.
quickly kind of descend into accusations, and then these barbs start to come out, and
yeah.
discussions quickly become not open anymore. So yeah, being as a pastor, part of your role is to be that mediator for people, helping people walk through that. And when you start to sense that the discussions are going from open to closed, just refocusing people, helping them say, hey, you're saying this here, like, is that really what you mean? Or is there something more at the issue? And it kind of helps you get back
yeah.
to number one, too, about identifying the core issue there. So
yeah,
yeah, being open
yeah.
about stuff is good.
And you'd think this next one here should be obvious, but I think it's, again, in the heat of conflict can be overlooked, but seek solutions in common ground.
Yeah.
I particularly like the second one because I think everyone knows they should seek a solution, but often I think that your solution is to prove your point that you're right. Right.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
But if you find the common ground, I actually like to put this second one first. I think that, you know, each person that has a conflict, there's a common ground. There's a reason you had this conflict. There's an issue that you know, you both had interest in or a few people had interest in or whatever, and that everyone can relate to, right?
Yeah.
That's what common ground is, that each person in a conflict, what do you want? If you want resolve, you know, you're both passionate about some topic or some issue or whatever it was, something that was said. So I think that, you know, always trying to seek a solution and empathizing with the person
yeah.
and is a good, you know, common ground to get to that that resolve, which, you know, this is huge because we know what the Bible says about forgiveness.
Yeah.
And obviously how vital that is. So, yeah, that's what leads to that.
Here's what I would say to that is that I'm someone that is often tempted with that. Like as I, when I'm in an argument, I want to be right. And I think everybody feels that way, but I think maybe I do a little bit more than most sometimes. And that's my goal.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just kidding.
Thank you, Ian.
We get to have fun with this podcast.
That's good. You get to.
No, it's joking.
But what I see in that is that, like, the thing about common ground is really what's so important is that sometimes you have to work pretty far back to find a place of common ground, especially when you're red hot in the middle of an issue, like really frustrated with somebody. But there's always some kind of common ground, right? So even if you have to go all the way back to, like, Jesus is Lord, right? Do we have to go back that far?
Yeah.
Do we agree to that? We have common ground
there.
So if we do, then like, and you know, if you don't, then it probably isn't going to work out, right? If we can't agree to that point. But if you do, then we can probably start to say things like take another step forward on that scale and say, you know, do we believe that, you know, God wants to use this church to make an impact in our city and the gospel be spread? Yes. Does this ministry please God? We can kind of walk and kind of find the place where our common ground breaks down. And then that's the issue probably we have to start tackling there when we have some kind of thing that we're missing each other on. And that's usually where you have to start to have those open discussions we're talking about. Yep. So that's a strategy that I use, just kind of going back to reminding us that we are on the same team in the end.
Yep.
When it all boils down to it, it makes these other things feel much less significant. You don't want to minimize it, but it is something that is in the grand scheme of Jesus being Lord and our church being for our city, these kinds of things, they are much bigger issues of importance, I'd say. So
that's good. That's good.
Last one is you need to follow, like kind of end with follow through and like reconciliation. Here's what is missed so often in church conflict is that we kind of go through these steps and, you know, people kind of casually agree, but don't fully agree on like resolution steps, and then nothing ever really changes. So I've seen this happen so many times where that's like, we don't like fully agree to something and we don't state clearly how things are going to be different going forward. And therefore there can be no resolution. And we find ourselves in this same position with bitterness and strife and those things happening just a few weeks or months later in most cases. So, something that I think is so important, and I think we talk about this in so many areas of how you and I do business, Ian, and how we do ministry, and is just making sure there's clear expectations on what's going to happen next. As a result of this conflict and what we said we're going to do, here's what person A is going to be doing differently, and here's what person B is going to be doing differently, and do we agree to this? Are we saying this the same thing? Now, you don't have to get so formal as to like write it down and, you know, sign it or anything like that. Maybe in some cases you do, but for the most part, like, it can end with someone just saying, yes, I'm going to read it to this. Have them say what they're agreeing to do.
Yeah.
And then have a follow-up appointment set up for this. If there's a major church conflict happening, find a time where you can actually have some kind of follow-up there. And
no, and I agree, Thomas. Something like a follow-up meeting to confirm that things were reconciled, that you can move forward. Because that has to happen to be able to be moving forward healthy in ministry.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. If you don't have this kind of resolution and kind of a clear next step, it will descend back into the same place that it was. Yeah. So important to get that right. And I think that, like, having those consistent follow-up steps and maybe even like kind of, again, like check back meetings to make sure we're still on the same page 6 months down the road, a year down the road.
Yeah.
And I think at times that could be a celebration too. If like we've seen victory in this area, we can say, like, you know, we've really grown closer and things have been much better there. And so, God willing, that'll be the kind of stuff that we get. So, good stuff. Good. Anything else to add, Ian, as far as hacks for overcoming church conflict?
No, I think everyone knows this is God's will. There's plenty of examples of unity and reconciliation and making peace, being a peacemaker. So it's something that's always good to revisit. And I think, again, when you're in the trenches and you're active in ministry and pastoring, you know, and you can get too thick skin or you could become too sensitive and hurt.
Yeah.
And so we hope that this was encouraging. Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. I hope it was. If it was an encouragement to you, leave us a comment down below. If you have any things that you've done that you've seen help you resolve church conflict, we'd love to hear about those too. Hit the subscribe button, drop us a like, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.